episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Episode number 52. On a night that normally is a Rick and Rollo show, but Rollo's not well. He sent me a message this morning, so he'll have to give it a miss. You know he's not well if you're not getting bombarded with Donald Trump YouTubes and 1,000 Disney attacks on Disney by all those YouTubers out there that sit there. Bearded guys usually with beards. That sit there and well over the age of that should be watching a new Disney Snow White version or whatever. I've noticed. Not the target audience. And they always, oh my God, Disney's destroyed Snow White. Oh my God. Hit like and share. That's what, you know, they live off it. Now I'm the opposite. I do not live off the net. I struggle away doing menial work with no stress and apart from not enough money. But, we survive. It's mainly my fault for not going getting a regular job, wanting to be self-employed and not wanting to advertise. I can't stand advertising and having one. I like word of mouth. And that's what I get a fair bit of. I've got a couple of little adverts around. But it's word of mouth. Now, today is a special day out there. It's February the 14th. February the 14th. Yes, it is. Now, everyone knows what a special day that is. And that is, of course, the day that St. Barnabas invented the beer bottle opener. And I've always kept this as a special day, much to the annoyance of a lot of my ex-partners over the years for some reason. And I always take some flowers and chocolates up to the bottle shop. And hand it to the person behind it to say thank you for providing me with beer. It's a tribute to St. Barnabas. Why am I single though? It's unbelievable that, my later age I've become single. Unbelievable. But anyway, happy St. Barnabas Day to those of you out there. And open a bottle of beer up with a beer bottle opener in tribute to St. Barnabas. And take some flowers up to the bottle shop or the off license if you live in England or the liquor store in America. That's my advice on February the 14th, 2026. Yeah, episode 52. I've always got stuff to talk about. Let me tell you. And the other day I found this amazing book. Unbelievable. Like if I was running out of things to say, which I'll just tell you now, it will never happen. But if I was to have a memory loss, this book, you can just open it up and it's called, I'll tell you what it's called. It's called Uncle John's Great Big Australian Bathroom Reader by the Bathroom Readers Institute. I guess it's meant to be when you're sitting in the toilet, you pick up something and you can just open up, depending on how long you sit on the toilet for, or if you have a squatty potty or a bidet. So you probably spend a lot more time if you have one of those heated bidets, or just has to guess. But every page is just full of trivia and the kind of stuff, and I'm talking about really good trivia, that if I had to, I could use it. The Curse of James Dean's Porsche. Now, I'm telling you, all this stuff, everything in here is interesting and the kind of people that would possibly listen to a Be Told show would be interested in. So there you go. If I run out of things to say, I'll just pick it up, open up to any page, and bring up. And there's a bit of fakery in here as well, I noticed. Famous fake stories, word origins, model citizens, how to make a monster, beware, been nowhere, done nothing, the ultimate taste test. Just incredibly fantastic. So if I do run into things to say, and I'm going to tell you it won't, I won't, but I'll just say that just in case, the Bathroom Readers Institute book, Uncle John's Great Big Australian Bathroom Reader. Now, what was I thinking of last night? Oh, no, so I've been listening to someone, Software, sent me an email yesterday pointing out that something I didn't know, that Charles, what's his name, from was on that great show, the what was it called? Something that there was two guys, and they, I mean, these guys are absolutely saying this, all sorts of stuff about the Australian prime ministers and politicians and naming the names and unbelievable stuff. And Charles, I've read the email. No, actually, no, I won't. I don't need to. I won't embarrass them or her. It's just a very short one saying, have you listened to this? And so what I did is immediately uploaded it. And it's called When Humanitarians Kill podcast by Charles McKenzie. Now, he is a guy who's, and honestly, this is really heavy stuff. He was part of that infected blood. So he was a haemophiliac, and he's exposed that there's a huge amount of tainted, infected blood that caused mass amounts of hep C and what they were calling AIDS, which would just have been an autoimmune issue, probably injected into to young children, and they knew that they were doing this. And get no compensation off it at all. No compensation, which usually means it's something bad. Now, England has done a bit. He got flown over as an expert witness and into England. They have had going on now a big inquiry into the infected, tainted blood. Not the Mark Arman song, tainted. What was it? Tainted love, that one, no, but tainted blood. And honestly, it is just a horror story. And what he's got a co-host on the show. It was a female whose child, two of her sons, had infected blood. One had Hep C, and one had what was diagnosed as AIDS in 1980 in the 80s when he was. It's just a horror story. It's too depressing on a Saturday night to bring it up. But what she was mentioning too is the Camperdown Children's Hospital. Now, I often talk about haunted places or freaky places where I've gone, been into, and I've gone, there's something weird going on. And one of them in this Camperdown Children's Hospital in Winnie, Sydney, has been converted into blocks of units. But they've still got it's the same building, right? They just turned it into blocks of units. And I had to go and do a job there one day, and I was walking around going, fuck, this is freaky. I was getting those bad vibes, which I used to get in New Zealand a fair bit. And I'll be talked about on the Be Told shows, a lot of about the unknown and ghosts and, you know, mysteries about in New Zealand over the years. I know I've been speaking to about a lot. And I go on my feeling, you get that kind of, something is there, there's something creepy. Now, what they've done to make it even worse in these blocks of apartments, when you go down the stairwells, and these are the same stairwells the nurses would have been bringing people up and, you know, going up and down back in the day. I'm talking about this is an old, old hospital. But they've put these metal lithographs of kind of the photos of of nurses and patients up on the walls. And these steel cold black and white, it looks like, I'm telling you, when you watch the movie The Shining, when you see the black and white pictures with Jack Torrance kind of, you know, in the 1920s, they've got that kind of photo, but they've done that lithograph where it's imprinted like on a negative And it is fucking terrifying if you are aware of what the hospital was. It was a children's hospital full of sick children, dying hospital, dying a lot of the time over there because there's a lot of illness with TB and et cetera, caused by coal, the home burning coal. That's what was causing the TB back in the day. Recently exposed to me by one of the, some show I listened to, made so much sense. But yeah, and it's funny that I can be in places where you should be absolutely terrified, you know, if you're an uneasy person. And I've mentioned it before, I'll talk about it again. The last night or two of the Dark City film was filmed right next to the biggest and oldest graveyard, Rookwood Cemetery in Sydney. That is, it is huge. It goes for miles and miles and miles and miles. And it's all, you know, I mean, some of the areas are really old with those classic, like Hammer horror type, falling over, graves and bones sticking out of the ground, probably, you know, in some cases, no surprise, because it's more the untended older areas where people have all died off. And I was there, I had to be there by myself on a Saturday night and a Friday night, I think it was. But so this is the Saturday night. I was there actually quite a lot, but the very, very last night I was roaming around, and that last night, and I mentioned this before because it is quite an interesting thing, the strangers, the characters, these kind of green-skinned, you know, dead-looking extras that the people that come around and cause mayhem at night time on the Dark City movie, they're all real knockabout characters. Now, they had a bond together. They all used to, I think they all went and got tattoos. You know, there was hundreds and hundreds of them, but there was about, say, a core 50 of them that partied hard and came on set and had their eyebrows shaved, head shaved, got into uniform, and they became a thing. They actually became, I guess you would probably be able to, there might still be a Strangers Foundation, all the extras that were on that film, because they had a link together. They all, I think they partied hard as well. This is the ecstasy and dance party stuff, the days of the late 90s. I mean, Sydney was a great place to be and party. I'd be told because I was doing it. Yes, I was. Anyway, I was there roaming around. No, beforehand, but one of the funny things, a group of four of these strangers decided to go and freak cars out that were driving along the side of the road where these graves are. And because if you've seen the movie, they look like they float because they've got these long black, kind of blackish or brownish, greyish coats on that kind of sit just above their shoe. And they look like they glide when they walk. And about four or five of them were walking along, probably causing traffic accidents along the side of all these graves on this dark road at night time on a Saturday. Very funny, I thought. But anyway, I never picked up on anything. I was in this big empty old factory right next to this freaky old graveyard, and I was roaming around at night time, and one time I come across, there was a green screen set up where they had one of the strangers falls down and gets killed. I haven't even seen the movie properly to know which scene it was. And I was roaming around my torch at night time through this old factory, and I came across what was, it looked like it was a carbon copy of a dead body upright with a grey head, and my light shined on it. And I kind of jumped a bit, but I never got a bad feeling there. But when I've been in places like Camperdown Children's Hospital, converted into apartments, I've definitely felt strange things. Also in New Zealand, all over the place, all over the place, I've get this real, there's a heavy, heavy, something's there, something happened there, particularly around where I used to live. And whenever I've gone back there, usually after 2 weeks, I get this voice inside of my head saying, get out of here, because there's a bad vibe over there. That's why it's such a violent place, and there's a lot of issues over there. Regional possession. Now, do you know about regional possession? Because it's a thing. Again, in this book, I've got oldish book called, what's it called? It's about spirits and dominion or whatever, and it's names, all these demons' names, and it discusses regional possession, that certain areas are controlled by kind of an entity of some form, and which is why you get repeat crimes often happening in the same area. But there's a there. if you're on the Be Told show, you should be expecting this kind of stuff. There is definitely a there. Now, as I spent my, from the age of five where I could read, and six or seven, you know, I was getting books out from the school library and right up till I was 15 or 16 or 17 before I became even, got into conspiracies, I was reading ghost books and UFO books. I had every book you could possibly get on ghosts and the unknown. I was right into it. Now I know that I do not believe it's some kind of energy that's left. Or if you look at the book, you know, what's clearly said in this book I've got on dark spirits, it says that these areas have all been divided out. The whole planet is covered in regional areas controlled by certain demons, got their names of them. Manchester's one of them, etc. I mentioned that one before. These are the heads of churches that wrote this book. They're all in their 70s or 80s. Old book, oldish book rather. Dark Angels, I think it's called. And they each have a chapter where they start naming and blaming that we are in a spiritual warfare. Original possession is a thing. Guaranteed. Again, I've been on this big sets and things like, and doing security on old disused factories and islands and things like that, like the one, not islands, but the just around the old part of Sydney. And I always used to go roaming around just investigating these places. And did I see anything? No. But did I feel something? Yes, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. But again, it's funny. You can be in a place that you just get this something down the back of your neck. You know, there's a there. Thank you, Joel. Very good. That's kind of the music that I would expect to hear when I was roaming around. One night, I'll tell you what good one, I was in the Windmill Factory, I think it was called, Windmill Street, rather, in the oldest part of Sydney. When it is, and there's two levels where it was old
steel. The winner factory. Is Sydney.
There was old storage factories that are still there. And one of them, I think it's called was it Windmill Theatre or... At the bottom of it is Sydney Theatre Company owns. The top of it was a film set, and it was a film that had who was on it? It was Cate Blanchett and a few other well-known Australian actresses back in the night. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, I was roaming around there at night time and roaming around. I found a stairwell, and as I came around the corner, like I was trying to find interesting things, as you do. And a guy came around doing exactly the same thing as me, but he was down based at the bottom. We both bumped into each other, nearly died of it, had a heart attack. Because when you see torchlight, all of a sudden a bright light comes around the corner when you're in a, what looks like a, or possibly was a haunted old. You're listening to Be Told.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
And you're listening to Be Told, episode number 52 on the 14th of February, St. Barnabas' Day, the day you take some chocolates and some flowers possibly to the owner of the liquor store or bottle shop or off-license to thank them for supplying you with beer. Oh, fantastic day. It's one of my favourite days of the year. Fantastic. Why am I single? Back to the show. Yes, so I was just talking about strange things. And the other thing, the interesting thing and I brought it up before, but there's a couple of new listeners on this show that will have to trawl a lot of shows to find some of this stuff. But I was talking about in the last episode about the Matrix clearing the streets of, you know, and comparing it to what happened in 9/11. A lot of people are not aware, possibly, of the whole hoax of 9/11, where you were just watching a complete stagecraft, very much like that Now You See It movie, using smoke machines, et cetera, et cetera. Just, look, fakeholders.com's got all the stuff. So if you want to go over there and go to the FakoTube and look up, the all the stuff by what's his name? September Clues. September Clues. Beg your pardon. That wasn't me. I just have to say that. It must have been the cleaner or, no, sorry, not, there isn't a cleaner here. The gardener. Anyway, roaming around. I lost it. Don't do that again because I lose my train of thought. I lose my train of thought. That's why I prefer not talking to anybody when I'm trying to go bring up interesting stuff because I just lose my train of thought. Rollo's the worst one for it too. He'll just, oh. Anyway, back to the thing. So what was I saying? I was roaming around. Oh, yeah. So what you see on TV, if you think that's what it is, then you will see that. And on a film, more often than not, and an awful lot of the film, well, the actor will have a stand-in doing their more the roles while they can go off and get on the drugs or be with their families and or do something or work on other films. Like Tom Cruise is probably, you know, doing all sorts of things. So he has up to two guys. Keanu Reeves had one, but I saw maybe two. The lead actor, Rufus Sewell, had one who looked identical to him, with a big ego too. He thought he should be more famous than he was. Because you don't often get big egos in the actors. It's usually the people that, like the people that, the wannabes that want to work in film that are there hanging around and the production staff often. But very good. I have to say the film industry is fantastic. Music industry is the worst. The egos of lighting and sound guys are well over and above the egos of a lead singer or equal to at least, full of themselves, absolutely full of themselves. Always wanted to be a rock star, but they can't become a rock star, so they're doing the lighting, and they have a lot of power when they're doing lighting. They can make you have a real bad concert or great concert. And same with the sound. Anyway, I digress. So anyway, often when you're watching a movie, you're not watching that actor. It's the back, the shoulders, the side, even the side profile of particularly this Rufus Sewell's double. He was the one that was on the set of the last nights of Dark City in 97, yeah? 96, 97. I think 96. It was before Matrix. He was the guy that you saw a lot of it. So what I'm suggesting that, and when you wake up to media fakery, all of us, and you have a good double look at everything or triple look at everything, often it's quite simple. You've simply been deceived, and it's really easy to do because I've talked about this before. I Dream of Jeannie. No, Bewitched. That was the last episode when Darren. The first actor, Dick Sargent, was it Dick York, right? When he had a really bad back, chronic back injury, and he had to leave the show. So they brought in another guy. And obviously using this NLP and visualization, they gave him a fake name because there's no way his name was Dick Sargent. But what they do is NLP, is word association. So there's the most famous American, if you were to say, one of those competitions, what goes with York, or you'd say Sergeant York. Sergeant York's a huge movie with Gary Cooper in the 30s. Huge, 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 huge. Very famous movie, Sergeant York. So they just gave the replacement Darren the same first name and a name that's almost identical, so it fitted in like a glove, even though the guy didn't look hardly anything like Darren. He didn't look like Dick York. And he was a registered pillow biter, shirtlifter, a Vegemite driller, if you know what the Australian colloquialism. I don't think he was like the father of the Brady Bunch. What would you call confirmed bachelor?
Fucking faggots!
that is from the movie Falling Down, directed by, whoever directed it, but with Michael, what's his name? Why can't I remember his name? That one. Now, blah, 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 blah. So the interesting thing is on a film, you're often not watching that. And this goes with your news and everything. So if you're not really studying what you're watching, you can just be thinking that, I can see some famous actress riding a horse and doing these jumps. It's actually a bloke doing it with a blonde wig, but because they use the way the direction of shooting, you can't tell. But this goes now. The news is like that now. You wouldn't know who's standing there in front of you. And just because it says it's some person, it could be, again, these hyper-realistic masks, et cetera, all very things that could be fooling you into believing what you're seeing. So do not believe everything you see. That's my advice tonight on the Be Told show. Now let's look at my notes. This is my new way of doing things. Fantastic. Now what I want to talk about
is the Radbroke Road scene.
That's a fact. That's the sample. That is the sample I was trying to ask for the other day, actually. Oh, that is good. Dave joke. Yeah, Ladbroke Grove. This, the scene of Ladbroke Grove is where we're talking about cultural creation. And in England in the 70s, they were getting ready to bring in the next, band to cause mass amounts of change, which would later become the Sex Pistols in the whole punk rock thing. But they had to experiment and try other bands beforehand. The Pink Fairies were 100% that band. They all hang around Ladbroke Grove. They're hanging around that area. They were all kind of semi, long-headed uni students, anarchists, socialists, Marxists, Crowley. Most of them were also Crowley junkies as well. And I've had conversations over the years with the drummer from the, what's his name, Twink, who was a member of the Pretty Things. He was a member of the Pretty Things and the Pink Fairies. And he's now a Muslim, Abdullah John Alder. Abdullah John Alder, very interesting character, and he will, if I message him, he responds. Very interesting guy. He would know stuff, but he would not tell you stuff. I'll just hazard a guess. He's just done a musical on Aleister Crowley. I know that much. A musical on Aleister Crowley, which is with really cool music too. I did like it. It's called Sympathy for the Beast, and some of it's been released. Some of it's been released. Some of it hasn't. So Ladbroke Grove. So this band was supposed to be the new, this anarchist thing. And that's what Sex Pistols were. And they were going to be to ruin the word anarchy. That's what the whole, one of the major things apart from causing a mess, whatever, to ruin the word anarchy. So it made anarchy when someone heard about something that someone was, did not like government ruling them, which is what you and I normally like. Everyone listening to any of this kind of show is into, they don't like the overstep and overreach of government. And anarchists, the real and anarchy is the removal of that. But they turned it into the sneering, ugly tooth, green teeth, John Lydon, sneering about anarchy in the UK. Great song. No way did they come up with that chord progression, I guarantee you now. Or even the lyrics. I think they were just told, this is, you got it. The songs, you can sing this song. It's such a powerful thing when it first arrived. And so the Pink Fairies, though, were also the Lydon and Wardell, Jar Wobble, all those, they were right into the Pink Fairies and would hang around that scene. Lemmy used to sell John Lydon his Sulf, which is, Sulf was the speed, basically. Back in the day. So everyone knew everyone around that era. Were they in on some plot? No, I don't think so, but they were just useful idiots. But I do believe the members of the Pink Fairies were being groomed to be that band that came out that would somehow destroy the way it was back in the day, back in the mid to 77 onwards. They timed it perfectly too and used a Crowley date. 77. For that, never mind the bollocks, et cetera, et cetera. And that's when they put in John Ritchie, is it? Is Sid Vicious, who had the look, absolutely. He looked so fantastic. But could he sing? No. Could he play a note? No. I actually bought, this is how desperate we were back in the 70s, Sid Sings album. It's the worst recorded album ever, with a whole lot of songs recorded at some dodgy club somewhere, mainly New York Dole songs and Iggy Pop songs, Stooges songs. Really bad, the worst recording I've ever heard. And I think I would have paid $17 or $18, which was a lot of money back then. The same when the record, Who Killed Bambi, Great Rock and Roll Swindle. That was really expensive. It wasn't a triple album, but it was so beautifully put together and some very interesting songs. And an album, now that I'm old, but I've got, I can't stand the same thing, hearing the same thing all over again. Every song was completely different on that double album, which was the soundtrack to the film, The Great Rock and Roll Swindle. But yeah, so yeah, that area of London, Ladbroke Grove, also was kind of ties in around where Bowie and all those guys hung out. It's a conversation into itself. I just had written it down, so I thought I'd bring it up. But there's no way that definitely the Pink Fairies were definitely meant to be. They wanted them to be, the powers that be, the new Sex Pistols. But because they had long hair, their songs, well, they had some great songs. And again, very Crowleyite, like Do It, you know, Do It, the Walt Wilt, the one that gets covered by a lot of people, Do It. They were the band that was meant to be, but they weren't to be. And they ended up, you know, half of them all dying broke, or if they're still alive, you know, just drugging out. Da 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 da. So we'll move on from that one. Well, see, I'm just looking at my notes here. Blah 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 blah. Oh, like Bolskin Manor. Speaking of Crowley,
blah blah blah, bling bling blah.
So you've obviously, Joel's got nothing to do today, so he's waiting for it. And typical, Rollo doesn't turn up and announce that Joel's got the. He's got the gear. So look at Rollo. Rick. The Be Told Show doesn't normally need special effects, but tonight Joel's got nothing to do with his buttons. Anyway, I'll keep going. But so Bolskin Manor in Scotland on the banks of the Loch Ness, he says, going to the bear fridge.
Rollo generously donated a large amount of money, which he had promised to do for so long. And then I made bumpers for him, and then he doesn't show up to hear them.
He's not well.
The next time a bumper plays, it'll be a Rollo. I'm sure it'll be every time you hear the financial donation bumper, it'll be a Rollo one. So just so you know, I included all this extra shit just for him tonight because I thought, like, when you donate, your bumpers aren't due for the next month. Like, you get credit for the next month. I just specifically schedule them to play just for Saturday night between 6 and 8 so that he might hear one just as a little preview because I was so appreciative. I hope he's listening.
Yeah, when I say he's sick, he's got to be careful because he's been, and when he says he's sick, it means he's really sick.
I know. So when he says he's sick, I already text him saying, you're a fucking bullshit artist, but then I go, yeah, he probably is. You know, he would show up here. If he was physically capable of it, he would show up. So he loves this more than anything. So I guess if he's saying he's sick, he must be sick.
He's sick.
It's because I only compare to a real workplace where we say we're sick, we're taking a day off. Like, no one wastes a sick day on being sick, right?
I actually had a thought about him today and I was thinking I should tell Christy to get this, should fuck this vegetarian thing off. He needs
steak. That's a big beef steak.
Bone broth. Bone broth.
The idea of him sitting down to like with little like a steak knife with little serrations to like cut a steak up and eat it seems funny to me for some reason. get healthy with that.
And I'm definitely a bit concerned about him though because I know that he's had the same thing for the last few weeks and he makes it back to, he comes and does a Rick and Rollo show because he loves, you know, and he gets drunk again, but then he puts himself back in the same sick boat again. Anyway, but it's, I'm just really glad he donated because he just, you deserve that money because he's been part of this thing and getting all his hard work done and, you know, packets stored away in your, you know, your vaults. So he should be paid.
I wouldn't say as much as, I wouldn't use the term deserve. For me, deserving is when someone feels entitled to something. And I would say,
I didn't mean that. You know,
I'm just trying to extrapolate a little bit. As much as you like, you've actually been on the platform more than he has because you do your own shows and Rick and Rollers, right? You're there all the time, right? So, it was more like Rick. You're there 2 out of 3 shows, I guess. But for every other show, it's a Rick and Rollo, where Rollo's there as well. And he's the one who always brags about money and says, oh, I'll donate, I'll do this, I'll do that. So well, it was only just bringing people to account. They're like, oh, if you're going to keep big-naming yourself off your finances and how you support things, well, let's see the goods of that. Come on, show us. And
well, he did fantastic.
But it was only because of that. It was a very dramatic show last week. He got very agitated once you started pressuring him. But I think I made a good point saying, shame on you, fool me once, shame on me. Like, don't start telling me about how we're going to have Bilderberger now. Dude, I came to Bilderberger off your first promise and nothing ever came of it. So, the way I saw it was if you want that second thing, of course I'll do it. I'll get to it eventually. We'll have a Bilderberger again. There's no chance we won't. There's plenty of fakeologists and Truth Meets people and John Le Bon people. There's a lot of people that we all talk to all over the place. That would love to come and have an experience, right? So I can't see that not happening at some point in the future. It will happen. So
Joel, honestly, do not – if it happens, it happens. It's like I don't care. He's the one going on about it. If it happens, it happens. I mean, getting me to turn up to a place is like a fucking miracle anyway.
But you turned up to his place the times I've been there. We could do the same thing at Lithgow. The only reason I wouldn't have done it so far is because it's kind of just not convenient for the house, the lifestyle, like how to invite everyone, have a barbecue. It might not be the best environment, you know, that's all. It's a little finicky and things I worry about. I'm sure we'll make it happen at some point.
Yeah, look, if it happens, it happens. Boom, that's it. No pressure. Anyway, what was I talking about? I'm going to try and remember what I was talking about before. Bleep, 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 bleep. I have to go back to my notes, my voluminous notes. Oh, did I just cut myself? Oh, you're listening to Be Told 52. Be Told.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com. Truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Truthmeets.com would like to shout out Lord Rollo for his generous support this month. Thank you, Rollo.
Wonderful. There you go. Thank you, Rollo. And I say, get well soon, Rollo. Get well soon, and we will talk. We will talk. This is Rick on the Be Told on the Saturday night, the 14th of February, which was St. Barnabas' Day, the anniversary of the man who invented the beer bottle opener. Very, very romantic day. Again, take some flowers or a small box of chocolates up to the off-license bottle shop or liquor store. And it may annoy your wife or girlfriend somewhat. I don't know why that is, but... this is the day, 14th of February, where you do that. That's what I've always done. Anyway, Bolskin Manor, the house on the banks of the Loch Ness that Jimmy Page did own, and had all sorts of weird haunted, you know, there's a head, was there a headless horseman there? No, that was the other one that I liked. But there was there's murders in there. There was all sorts of bad vibes about it. Anyway, I think Mark Devlin, now talk about Mark Devlin afterwards, and thank you, Mark Devlin, who's actually shared the link to truthmeets.com on his Facebook account, which is fantastic. And we did have, I do believe, a donation from one of the members. So thank you so much, whoever you are. Whoever you are, 10 out of 10. No, sorry, 12 out of 10. A Frank the Ounce of Salt, 12 out of 10. So anyway, this house, I think Mark Devlin went there, and because I followed him for quite a long time, and he took photos, and it had burned down in parts, and it was a wreck, and he jumped over the fence and took some shots. Well, blow me down, someone's bought it, and they're not just doing it up, but they're putting these amazing carvings of all this really esoteric stuff, you know, imagery over the fireplaces, you know, using wood carving of very much Crowley-ish stuff. So they're going to turn it into a giant tourist attraction, I guarantee you now. And Crowley is one of the most famous people ever to the esoteric types out there, and particularly the OTO types, etc., which is a lot out there, particularly in the music industry. Tool is a great example. Pink Fairies were, even Hawkwind, there's so much bits and pieces there. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, David Bowie, all went on about Crowley. The Beatles particularly, Bowie 100%. And I actually saw very interesting, it was an interview with him around the era when he was over touring with his, in Australia, his Let's Dance album, which is his worst album ever, as far as I'm concerned. Cannot stand that album. Too commercial. That was when he went downhill to me. Anyway, he's being interviewed, and I looked at his face when he was, someone mentioned something about it, and he said, oh, yes, we're all into Crowley. You know, he brought up Alistair Crowley, and he had this really kind of strange look, like we were all heavily into it, and that was a really strange scene. You know, he kind of said that offhandedly, but I was looking at his face, and he's like, he was internally looking in the memories, because he was really big time into Aleister Crowley, as with a lot of other people, Page particularly, Jimmy Page. And that some of the imagery of these new carvings on this new Bolskin renovation, which you can go on Facebook or go into the Bolskin house and see, I would guess. This is heavyweight stuff that they're getting put up there. So, and again, what's his name? Twink, the John Abdullah Alder, John Alder from the Pink Fairies, Pretty Things. And his amazing album he did called Think Pink by Twink. Highly recommend it. We'll play some stuff off that over the next few shows, actually, because there's some great songs on that album. He was the drummer percussionist for the Pink Fairies and the Pretty Things in the 60s. And now very much a Muslim living in England, but also backwards and forwards, he's got a young child, or did have a young child, and married to a woman in Morocco, where a lot of this, you know, Pink Floyd and all these, everyone used to go to Morocco back in the day to get the hash. And the sunshine, and worse, if you heard some of the shows I've talked about what's his name that wrote The Selfish Giant, etc., that raving homosexual playwright. Well, I've got this amazing book of his. Where is it? Where is that book? I'm trying to find it now. You should see how many books I've got in this place, let me tell you. On this particular subject, or these particular subjects, but yeah, that what's his name? Monty Python, that fantastic parody of him going to a party, blah blah blah. Why can't I remember his name? I'm telling you, it's when you're thinking and doing a show off the top of your head, and you change subjects, you can never remember anything. So I'll go back to that story afterwards. But yeah, Bolskin Manor, that is amazing what's going on there. And I definitely think that someone's going to turn it into a Crowley shrine. And I've talked about this before. I'm 1 degree or 2 degree separation from him, Crowley, because my brother, who's a total skeptic these days, he, one of his clients, is this old woman, and I actually saw her. He showed me her house where she used to live in Whanganui when I was there last June. He said, that's the lady over there. Her husband was a well-known composer in England in the 40s and 30s and 20s. And Alistair apparently used to come around. She met him and told my brother that, you know, Alistair used to come around on a Sunday on his push bike, determined to get her husband to write his poems and put his poems to music. Now, Twink actually has put those poems to music on this album, Sympathy for the Beast, the hit book of psychedelic heavy rock versions of Crowley's song. So would he be pleased with that? I'm not sure. But that's the kind of interesting anecdote that I had, that I have talked about before, that my brother, who he knew who Aleister Crowley was, so he said, oh, this client of his, little old lady, was always talking about Aleister coming around and being there, you know. This is towards just before he died, around 47, 48, or thereabouts. Interesting, when he did die, that's when all this really strange stuff started happening in America that same year, 1947. Just like the other weird stuff, I was listening to something the other day, and when the Beatles, so the Beatles collapsed and disappeared in 69, the same year that Theo Adorno died that year, and the Monkees contract, Blow Me Down, they had a 4-year contract or 5-year contract from 65. It expired around the same date in 69 as the Beatles imploded. That's really a strange coincidence. So that kind of shows you the American Beatles, the Prefab Four, which is the Monkees, their contracts dissolved the same time exactly as the Beatles collapsed and disappeared, and Adorno disappeared. Interesting coincidence. An interesting coincidence. I'll just say that. What else? And I was talking about, we're going back to, why have I written that down? Pete Townsend, speaking of people getting into trouble. I mean, when you think about this thing of destroying your heroes, iconoclast, which has been going on big time for the last 15 or 20 years, Rolf Harris, et cetera, Bill Cosby, Jimmy Savile, all your mainstream people of the 60s and 70s that were people that you watched on TV, all of a sudden they are, you're not to be watching them anymore, and they've got terrible reputations. This is a thing. The iconoclast. Like a Holocaust, but an iconoclast. Pete Townsend could have been easily part of that. He missed out by he got caught with a whole lot of stuff on a computer that he had, or he had his credit card linked to a child abuse, pedophilia or something online. It was a miracle that he got away with that. And I do not believe he pleaded innocent. I think he put in a guilty plea and they left him alone. Now, if it had gone that way, every time a Who song come on, you'd never hear the Who on radio anymore. That's how they can destroy your past, by just saying, all of a sudden you go, oh, I don't want to listen to that anymore, if he's going to be doing that. It's like the Epstein list, which is going on steroids, over-the-top stuff. I've never heard of the likes, like as an experienced conspiracy theorist of 43 years minimum, I've been looking into all the stuff, SRA, blah, blah, blah. The stuff that's coming out now from alleged FBI links, it's like, porn-level conspiracy theory, where they're saying that he was doing this, women being tied to a ground, being burned with magnifying glasses, tortured. Photos coming out, being released, and some of them clipped and shared on Facebook of really nasty stuff. This is incredible. Now, this is the iconoclasm as well, because a lot of the names on there are going to be people that were mainstream people, actors, etc. This is part of this Destroy the West, and everything you were part of needs to be removed, care of the Frankfurt Group. That's what they said they were going to do, and that's what they're doing. Mentioning Adorno and Frankfurt School, guaranteed. So, and then you listen to Pete Townsend's album, you know, Empty Glass, which is a fantastic album. But I love the song Rough Boys on it, but I remember listening to the lyrics going, I want to bite and kiss you. I want to buy your leather. And I was thinking, and what do I like this song for? And it was a homage to Rent Boys that he was frequenting. So he's quite open about what he got up to, old Pete, no doubt whatsoever. And then you look at all the names of the bands, these boy bands that came out in the 80s, the 90s, they were giving you the truth as well. New Kids on the Block, Backstreet Boys. These are all named for Rent Boys by the rich people that probably frequented the streets of England and in America back in the day that were into this kind of behaviour. So that's very interesting that all these bands, and I can keep going on about all the different names of bands, but blah, 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 blah. Move on from that one. So I've also written this thing down, the rabbit hole conspiracy. Now, I'm suggesting now that if you were to want to rope in so many people that are always, they knew that everyone's going to start waking up with this revelation that's going on at the moment, this unveiling of truth. What they've made sure that they've done is got you into different, all these rabbit holes that they've set up so that you'll just fall down and stay there. So no one's together anymore. I've talked about this before when COVID happened. You go to one of these stand in the park things and you think you've got something in common, you're anti-vax, whatever. And next thing they're going to start spouting stuff about QAnon or aliens, et cetera, et cetera. So this is part of this. What they're doing is dividing and conquering. They're keeping everyone, yes, everyone's woken up and they're into this kind of unknown truths and conspiracies and stuff, but they've been put down in so many different rabbit holes. The biggest, when they first released the biggest rabbit hole thing, that was the X-Files, after which woke an awful lot of people up that they knew that were going to wake up. And then they've done the same thing again recently with Stranger Things, which is, I mean, even my own children are going, Dad, did you see the Epstein this? Dad, you know, Dad, they're getting all the stuff on TikTok. It's incredible. And I'm like, you know, yes, you know, I was on about that 12 years ago, but, you know, I got laughed at, called a lunatic. But that's the way it's going on. So I kind of would have to agree kind of with, what's his name, Unreal, who I've mocked a bit on Fakeologist, who had put a thing out called the conspiracy. He's kind of right that everyone that came out from Jones, Alan Watt, et cetera, took a whole lot of people in the different areas, but then they put them into more holes. And, you know, then you got the everything is fake crowd and the IPS, you know, auto hoax crowd. Everyone thinks they're better than everyone else. There's no, what do you call it, cohesion going on, even though everyone's woken up. This has been deliberately done. I'll say that again. This has been deliberately done. And no better examples, though, than when you look at UFO types, you know, Bigfoot types, ancient history, lost history, a mud flood, everything is fake. They're all over the place, and you can choose to become one of them. Where I choose to become, to be interested in the things that I can actually feel or see are there. There's a lot of them that do have lots of there. History hoax, 100%. And did I talk about it last week? I'm not sure, but I saw this amazing photo. I think, did I talk about it last week or with Frank? I shared it to him. It was a photo from 1870 or 1860 of Sydney University. And it's this huge big castle sitting in the middle of nowhere. And there's all this old crappy fencing, like, you know, the convict day, this timber fence is made with, you know, bits of trees surrounding it and an old kind of mud road going up to it. And it's like, no, 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 this thing was already there. It has to have been already there. And they've just put their convict type fences around it. Because how could they have milled and, you know, carved all that stone to have built this giant castle? Now, that building is still there. But this is a shot of just the original building, which is literally a castle. That's what it looks like. So I suggest there is definitely a big there with the history hoax and a lot of this old buildings there. Whether it was Tartarian, I don't know, but there could be a massive there with that. But that's, again, with there's so many rabbit holes. So many rabbit holes. How do you cope? How do you cope? Well, how do I cope? I just go, well, that's interesting, but I don't devote my whole life to discussing or living off that particular thing, et cetera. Beep, 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 beep. What have I got here? Somebody's written that BPD. Have you heard of borderline personality disorder? Do you know anyone that's suffered from it? It's mainly diagnosing women, though, usually. And the comments, conversations I've had, and I may or may not have spent a lot of time with someone that would identify, or I would identify as suffering from a BPD. As I've spoken to people that know about it, they've always said, why in God's name is it called borderline? Because they've got full-on chronic personality disorders. I mean, literally, that anyone diagnosed with it should be forced, as far as I'm concerned, to have a flashing red light on top of their head every time they go out trying to pick up a bloke. Because there should be a massive warning, because these are people, look it up, BPD, and I've dealt with it before, and I've spoke to this guy, a friend of mine, I used to bump into him in a cafe, you know, it's another single dad now, and he said, he was telling me the stories how, you know, he gave his wife the most expensive, when they split up, he didn't want to split up, but she was demanding this and that, and so he gave her this house, the really expensive house, where she should have been happy with that. No, she wanted more. She wanted this and that, and basically destroyed him bit by bit. And as he said, he goes, she was never happy no matter what we did. She was always complaining about stuff. And I have to say, I've been there. BPD is like, say you say to them, oh, you've got a really nice haircut. What a BPD person will turn around and go, so it wasn't nice before. And that completely ruins, you know, so they turn a positive into a negative really easily. As I say, BPD should be renamed chronic personality disorder. CPD, not BPD. That's just a thought that I had back in the, whenever I was taking my notes. Now, well, you're listening to Be Told 52. Be Told.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Fantastic. Being on a Saturday night on the 14th of February, St. Barnabas, the opener, beer bottle opener inventor. On truthmeets.com, truthmeets.com. And sadly, this would usually meant to be the Rick and Rollo night, which I love. My favourite show to do, because you know why? You don't need to have anything planned, and we just riff off each other, and it's usually really good, I think. And a lot of other people do. My cat, Rollo's dog, three lizards and a spider, and apparently Susie. Fantastic. Susie's done some really good hard work for us over the years, so it's been really the last year or two. She's collated a whole lot of stuff with psychologists, shared links, and fantastic. So shout out to Susie. Shout out to you, Rollo, and shout out to the donator that listened to the Mark Devlin interview, which I didn't think I did a very good job, but it was very hard to, again, I mean, me and Ab both are dead air haters, and we both try to get a question in or talk at the same time, and it kind of probably annoyed people. But I hope to do something with Mark on music, particularly the culture creation stuff that I'm pretty much an expert on now, particularly the links between Northern Music and Adorno, Beatles and Black Sabbath, and even the Stooges. There's links there, and I've got the information and probably written down things all over the place. My house doesn't look like, though, the guy, what's his name, the number 23 with Jim Carrey, where he's writing scribbled notes all over walls everywhere, like a proper conspiracy theorist was. I don't do that. I'm a tidy conspiracy theorist. I write things on the backs of beer coasters or invoice books. You can open up any invoice book that I've got, and it's just got some garbled notes of things I want to talk about in the whatever show I'm going to do. Possibly doing a bongversation tomorrow. I would say I definitely will be. It'll be bongversation 55, I think. Yeah. That'll be interesting. If you're into this is high level stuff. The mind, the computer mind that Dave J's broken down, etc. Now I might go actually, and I have a song played, and then if I might talk to Joel afterwards, possibly, and or if anyone else is out there wants to come in and talk, we'll wrap the bong, the Beatold show up with a fantastic song, which I'll have to send to Joel. Very romantic song for it is St. Valentine's Day. I'm aware of that, but I got nothing to do with that, and I'm so unromantic. Sorry. Do I have a romantic? Sometimes I did over the years, but I just thought it was a giant scam. Every day should be Valentine's Day if you're in a good relationship. Is that right? I would say so. I'm going to send this song to Joel. Very romantic song that I think anyone that suffered with people with BPD would identify this song. By the Anti-Nowhere League. Yes, the Anti-Nowhere League. Song called Woman, but it's not a live version. Anti-Nowhere League. Very romantic, I think, league. And I'll send that to Joel. YouTube. But I have to find the one that's not live, because a lot of them are live versions. I do not want that. Here we go. And I found one, and I don't want to watch it on YouTube. Go away. I'll share it. Sorry. I don't think you would have heard that, but I could hear that. Great song for St. Valentine's Day. To those single out there, particularly former sufferers of having a partner with BPD, or CPD as I consider it, CPD. Send song to Joel, the fantastic Joel. Where is he? Villo. There we go. This song is out there, a song for the those out there that aren't doing anything Valentine's Day, that are not at a romantic dinner, haven't spent a whole lot of money on flowers, etc., etc. This does happen. Oh, that's all I can say about Valentine's Day. I guess it's for the young people that are trying to have children or want to mate a lot more, having a lot more sex. That's what the flowers are for. Or forgiving them for doing something wrong in the last whenever. But anyway, so I'm going to sign out now, and I may come back and talk to Joel if he wants to talk on this wonderful February the 14th. 2026, and I'll see you later. So it's going to get put out soon. I'll think of a name for it too. I'll think of a name for it. So thanks, everybody. And I may be back. Where am I? Thank you, everybody. And I'll be back whenever. Bye-bye. I'm in love with you.
To death us do.